Tonight, we are going to be in 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Your pastor didn't just preach out of this one, did he? All right, I'm just making sure. Okay. 1 Chronicles 28. And this is kind of a cool one. And a lot of my sermons, if I'm being honest, I sometimes hear something when someone preaches, and it's just a verse that'll catch my attention, and I'll kind of jot it down and see where the Lord kind of takes it. But many times it's from doing my devotions, and you know, you'll read something over and it just kind of sticks in your brain, and you're like, that's kind of cool, you know, and you start thinking on it and reading about it, and before long you have all kinds of things you want to say about it. Luckily for me, I get to preach, so I get to tell lots of people, you know, all at once. But it is a wonderful thing. And if you don't have a time of daily devotions, I would really challenge you guys to get in God's Word and then find someone to talk to about it. Share it with your wife, your husband, your kids, your neighbor. Just tell it to somebody. You know, it's a wonderful thing, because if you got something out of God's Word, then I am sure someone else would get something from that same passage. And it's amazing how, you know, two people can read the same thing and God can speak to us in two very different ways. But I get excited about it. And I love the Old Testament. I do. But I'm going to try to stay focused and preach on what I was going to preach on here. So tonight, we're kind of looking at the idea of when you have one plan for your life, but maybe God has another plan for your life. And, you know, many times we have somewhere we want to go or something we want to do, and God just kind of changes our course of action. If you would have told me 4 years ago, if you had told me 4 years ago that I would be living in Sullivan, Missouri, and I'd be preaching here in a church in Columbia, Missouri today, I would have said you were crazy. I was living in Florida 4 years ago, and I didn't think I would ever be here, but the Lord had different plans, and I'm glad He did. It's been better. His way is always better. So here we are looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 28, We're gonna start reading in verse number 2. I'm gonna read verse 2 and 3. We're gonna have a quick word of prayer, and then we're gonna cover quite a bit more from this chapter. But that's gonna be the starting point. So starting in verse 2, it says, after he had everybody assembled together, David says this. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and thou hast shed blood." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity again to speak, and I just pray that your word would just minister to our hearts, dear Lord, as we examine this for the next few minutes, that you would just speak to hearts, and if there is, you know, something you would have us to see, dear Lord, I pray that we just open them up and listen and receive your word as it is. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to make a decision, or anybody here who maybe doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day they'd come to know you. We do love you, and we pray and ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, David had a plan, and I don't believe at all it was a selfish desire. I don't think it was a bad thing. He wanted to build a temple for God. You know, he wanted to give something back to his God, and that's a wonderful thing. He wanted to do this, and you can't fault someone for having a desire to give to God or to serve God or to want to do something for God. But God said no. He said, "You're not going to do it, David. You know, you've been a man of war. You've shed a lot of blood, and you've just done certain things that are going to basically kind of disqualify you from being able to build my temple." And it's not that God didn't use David, because God used David tremendously. And he did wonderful things, and he accomplished many things in his life. But God said no to this request of David. And you know, your reaction to these situations is big. You know, and in our lives, as many of you in this room maybe have experienced, you might have had certain life events that maybe disqualify you from certain things. For instance, when it comes to being a pastor or being a deacon, the Bible says that you have to be a husband of one wife. And if we've been divorced, that would disqualify us from being in that particular, area of service. But it doesn't mean that God can't still use us. It doesn't mean God's done with you because you've made a mistake, or maybe you didn't make a mistake. Maybe your spouse left you high and dry and you had nothing to do with it. Whatever led to that situation, just because you're disqualified from one area, like, don't give up and say, well, God must be done with me, because he's still got a plan for you. No matter where you are, I promise you, God has a plan for you and wants to use you. And so, you know, David, what we know about him, he was a warrior king, okay? 1 Samuel 18:7, you know, they sang about him. They said, and the women answered one to another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. You know, so often when we think of David, we think of the little kid story. And we think, oh, David and Goliath, you know, and he threw the stone. And there's so much more to that. I mean, he was a young man and he took on a warrior, you know, like a big warrior, not just a little one. But David battled so many other battles than that one. And David was a warrior for God, and he defended God, and he defended Israel, and he defended everything like he should. But you know, there was times in David's life where he was responsible for blood as well, that he wasn't so innocent, where he made some mistakes and sinned. And, you know, and we can look at those things. And, you know, Uriah the Hittite, he sent him out into battle, into the front lines, and left him to die because, well, he took Uriah's wife when he shouldn't have. And we can look and we can read later on when he decided one day to let his pride get the best of him. And David was looking at the numbers and the people and wanted to know how great he was. And he numbered his army. Well, as a result of that, 70,000 Israelites died, you know, brought judgment. And David had a lot of things that took place in his life, some of it good and some of it bad. You know, he was no saint, but God still used him. It makes me feel good when I can read about David, who was this imperfect person that God still used. Because it makes me think, you know, there's hope for me. There's hope for me. Because if David can do some of the things he did, and God can still call him a man after God's own heart, like, there's still hope for all of us. God's not done with us, okay? And David had a good and pure desire to build a temple. And it's similar to desires that many of us have. And as I've already said, you know, to be a pastor, to be a deacon, to be whatever, there are certain things that would disqualify us. But, you know, there are some men in my life personally that came from a broken marriage, but I saw God use them greatly. One of them, his name is Ron Thompson. Ron Thompson, after I got done listening to a message, and he was a guy who worked in the youth group, and he served at our church for many years. And Ron Thompson was the man, even though he had been divorced, he still kept serving God faithfully, and he got involved in the church. And I want you to know, he sat down and he counseled me. He was the one that led me to Christ. He showed me how to be saved. And I'm thankful that that man didn't say, well, I'm disqualified from being this, so why bother being here? And he just kept going. You know, and another one was my dad, or the man I refer to as my dad. He was actually my stepfather, but he raised me from the time I was about four or five years old. And he faithfully served for so many years. And I don't know that I saw somebody more faithful, and like somebody that just was so patient and so loving and so kind. And not just how he came in and he took me and my sister on, but he served in the church anyway, in every way he possibly could. And I'm thankful for examples for men like that who just said, you know what? Hey, life didn't turn out the way I thought it would, but I'm going to keep serving God, and I'm going to keep doing it and keep going. And I'm thankful for those. And so looking at verse 4 here, we're going to start seeing some of what God is continuing to say to David. He says, howbeit the Lord of God Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. You know, it's so easy to focus on what God didn't give us that sometimes we miss out on the blessings that God did give us. And in this case, David's saying, you know, I had a whole bunch of brothers, and I was the small one. There was nothing impressive about me. I was out watching the sheep, okay? But God said, that's the guy right there I want to be king over Israel. That's the guy I want to lead my troops. That's the guy I want to lead my nation right there. That's the young man I want. And David could have pouted. He could have been mad, but instead he chooses to praise God for what God chose him to do. And I think we need to be careful, you know, when God says no to some of our requests. Because the truth is, sometimes God tells us no when we ask him for things. And he's got a good reason for it. We don't always see it. We don't always understand it. And sometimes, you know, just like a little child, we probably even pout a little when God tells us no or closes a door that we wished was open. But he has a reason. And you know, in Luke 1:31, it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." This is when he's talking to Mary. "And shall bring and shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto thee the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And it's cool to see that even though David didn't get to do what he was going to do, what he wanted to do, God still used David, even for the line of Christ. I mean, for David to be able to say, not only was I the king of Israel, but the line of Christ came from my lineage, from me. You know, I played a part in that. And we look at some of the other people that were involved in that, you know, and some of the other imperfect people. And I think one of the most notable is Rahab. You know, God used, she's called Rahab the harlot, but that was David's great-great-grandmother. And God used her tremendously and took a woman who came from a checkered past, who probably a lot of people would look at and say, "I want nothing to do with that lady." But God said, "I'm going to use her. I'm going to forgive what happened in the past, and we're going to make something great of her today." And she did, and she played a part in that. And there's a lot of other people with some checkered past if you look through the lineage of Christ. He didn't have a whole perfect family. Jesus was perfect. Jesus' family was not perfect. You know, just like you and I, we're not perfect people, but God will still use us. You know, your choices, and sometimes God's choices for you will disqualify you, but it never disqualifies you from serving him, and his way is always better. The next thing I want you to see is God let his son do it instead. And this is a cool thing as a parent to see here, David's response. Because I think as a parent, there is no greater joy than seeing your kids accomplish things. You know, I referenced hunting this morning, and I'm going to reference it again tonight, because why not? All right? And so, like, 3 years ago, I killed my first deer, and that was exciting. That was a rush. That was amazing. But 3 years ago, about, I don't know, probably 2 weeks or so after I killed mine, I can't remember, it was in the extended youth season or something like that after the regular season, my son killed his first deer. And can I tell you, I had more excitement inside me watching him do that than I ever got out of getting mine, because there is something so amazing about watching your kids do that. And I got to watch my daughter the next year get her first deer. And like, and it is, I mean, my goodness, and it's not all about, that's not the only thing I'm ever proud of them, but it's just the joy of seeing your kids do things and accomplish things. Like, it's so much better than anything you could ever do. It just really is. And so we see here in verse 5 through 7, it says, "And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons." Again, he's thankful. He's got lots of sons. "He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be consistent to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day." And man, how cool that must have been if David said, "If I can't do it, to be able to see my own son get to build the temple for God." And I think, you know, as a parent, my greatest hope is no matter what I do, I want my kids to be better than me. And when I say better than me, I'm not talking about just on by our perspective. I want my kids to be better Christians than I am. I want them to be better at serving the Lord and at soul winning and everything. And I don't even remember, I was talking to someone in here about the height of me and my son. I am thrilled for him. Listen, I'm 5'8" is what I've reached. That is the max height I got to. I always wished I was 6 foot tall, but I'm not. But here's my son at 13 years old, and he's already my height. And I'm happy for him that he's going to be taller than me. You know, I rejoice over that. But we ought to be excited that our kids are going to do these things. And if it can't be your kids that do it, we ought to be excited that someone else gets to do it. We should rejoice for fellow believers when they get to step in a role and serve God in some capacity. And we ought to be there. And you know, that brings me to my next point. You know, when we don't get what we want, we should become the biggest cheerleader for God's plan. And I'm not big on male cheerleaders. That's not what I mean right now. What I am talking about is we ought to cheer on God's plan and support God's plan. And that's what we ought to be doing. And in verse 9, it kind of talks about this. Verse 9 and 10, it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake them, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." And then I want to turn your attention down to verse 20. He kind of repeats the same message. "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." David is sitting there. He's encouraging him. He's saying, "Hey, know my God, serve my God, trust my God, follow him, and he will do it." And he told him, and I love how he says it, you know, like the Nike commercials. He's like, "Do it, okay? Just do it. God called you to do it. Get out there and do it. Follow God. Whatever he says, go for it." And that's what he's encouraging him to do. He's telling him to step up, love God. And even though David wanted to be the one, he went on and he encouraged his son. And he cheered his son on. And you know, and I want to say this for a moment here too. And you know, whether we're talking about a pastor, a music director, a youth pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, like whoever it may be, you know, we all have opinions, don't we? Like every person in this church, I know you have opinions. I believe it with all my heart because I have opinions. And sometimes I share opinions even when I should keep my mouth closed. You know, it's hard to hold them in. But the thing is, you know, it may not be the person that you picked for that role. You may have thought, you know, I wish they would have went with this other guy. He would have been so much better. This other lady would have been so much better. But the truth is, if God put them there, you become a cheerleader for that person. You cheer them on. You encourage them to be the best pastor, the best youth pastor, music director, deacon, whatever, Sunday school teacher. You encourage them just to be the best church member that they can possibly be. That's our job. We ought to be an encouragement. The Bible's constantly telling us to edify, to lift up, to stand behind them. And you know, and come up behind them and serve alongside of them. And I remember many people have said, when you have a problem for somebody, with somebody, one of the easiest ways to overcome your feelings of negativity towards them, you start praying for them. And the more you pray for them, the more you're going to find it harder to dislike that person. And you're going to find love and compassion for that person. And we've all been there where, because, I mean, unless I can't think of anybody. But as far as I know, everybody has had somebody that they're like, it's hard to get along with them. You know, like we all have that person in mind. And whoever it may be, we got to love them anyways. We got to encourage them anyways. And I hope it's okay with me being honest with you guys like that and saying that I've even found it difficult to get along with certain people. We've all been there, right? Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." And it's just true. You know, if David would have not come alongside Solomon and encouraged him, who knows where Solomon would have been? Who knows how he would have ended up in this situation? But David was there and he loved him and he encouraged him and he said, "I'm here for you. We're going to do whatever we can do to make sure that you accomplish God's will, what he has for you." So be there for your fellow believers. Be there for your pastor. Encourage them. The next thing I want you to see, and this is actually jumping ahead to chapter 29 and verse number 1 is where we're going to pick up. But I want you to see that it's important that we get involved. Okay, we got to get involved in this situation. Even if it's not our plan, not our desire, we still need to get involved. And starting in verse number 1, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and the stones to be set, glistering stones in diverse colors and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. What David is saying here is, look, you know, Solomon can't do this all on his own. He needs people to come up behind him. He needs people to help him. He needs people to get involved. This is not a one-man job. This temple is not about Solomon. This temple is for the Lord. It is for God. And this church is not about one man. It's not about one person. It's not about one family. This church is here for God. It's here to accomplish his will. And everyone should be getting involved. And David's saying, not only have I prepared as a king for this moment, not only have I been setting aside all these precious jewels for this moment, but I took of my own personal money. And I want you to know that I gave. And if we look at other places where it kind of tells these things, I read somewhere that David gave approximately what would be in today's value. Well, I don't know. I know values change with inflation. But at the time, it was $105 million approximately is what David gave towards the temple. That's a lot of money. He could have been selfish. He could have wasted it like a lot of kings did. He could have gone out in style and built himself a giant statue of himself. He could have done anything he wanted to do with that money. But instead, he said, well, this is what I wanted to accomplish. God chose not to send me, but I'm going to make sure the job gets done anyways. You know, it's like one of those things. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. And not all of us could go and be missionaries, whether it's because of our health, maybe the fact that we could never learn a foreign language, or maybe the fact that we just aren't qualified for that job for some reason. But man, we could all support a missionary, can't we? We can all help them along the way. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can be there for them. And if you continued reading, you would see that others began giving. And the people and the leaders of Israel gave close to $200 million, again, in more modern terms, towards the temple. And don't think for a second that David didn't play a part in that. Had David said, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting involved in that. I want no part of it. God said I couldn't do it. God can build it himself. If that would have been David's attitude, those other people wouldn't have followed along. Those other people wouldn't have given. And we have such an impact on the people around us with our attitudes to a situation when God closes that door, when God says no, when we want something to happen in a church and it doesn't work out the way we want it to, but another plan comes forward. And, you know, we got to play a part in that. And as long as it's not sinful and it's not wrong and it's not something like that, we ought to play a part in supporting it and loving it and encouraging it and doing everything we can to make sure that God's message continues to go out. That's what we're there for. We got to get involved. And then finally, I want you to see this. He gave willingly. David gave willingly. And that's important. He said, I know also, my God, that thou try. Sorry, verse 17. I don't know if I said that. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Notice he didn't say I'm doing this out of obligation. Like some of the worst things that we can do, the worst motivator as a Christian is guilt or obligation. Coming to church because you have to, that's not going to impress God. It's not going to win points. If you're doing it because somebody is going to notice and you're like, well, I don't want to feel bad about it, that's no reason to be here. And I'm not telling you, I'm glad to see nobody walked out when I said that. That was good. But the thing is, like, we shouldn't do things out of guilt or obligation. We should do things because we love God. It should be a willingness to accomplish his plan, a desire to accomplish his plan. And we see that David gave willingly, and he also said the people gave willingly. You know, give back to God with everything you have. And I know that David here was talking in terms of finances there. But I want you to know, like, giving to God is not just about money. Yeah, we all should tithe. We all should give offerings. We should give to missions. We should do those things, and we should do those things willingly. But if all we ever do is write a check, we're missing out on so much that we could give to God. We can give our efforts. And, you know, I look at some people in the churches that I've grown up in, and you know, they're sitting there now, you know, some of them 70, 80, 90 years old. And you talk to people that have known them their whole lives. And those people, from the time they were young and, you know, able to move around and do all these things, they, you know, they rode on buses, they knocked on doors, they served as Sunday school teachers, and they served as anything and everything that they could possibly do. And until the day the Lord calls them home, that's what they did. They gave and they gave and they gave of themselves. And that's the idea behind this whole message, is that when we don't get our way, when God has a plan for us that's different than our own, we just got to jump on board and roll with it. We need to give of ourselves to accomplish God's plan, because His plan is always better. You know, in your life, your position, your church may not be what you want it to be. But if God made it so, then give willingly like David. And I'm not saying that your church isn't. I'm not saying your life isn't, because, you know, I can't judge that situation. I've met the people here, and man, you guys seem like a happy group of people, which tells me that either you guys are just an amazing group of people, which I think you are, and it sounds like you probably have a pretty amazing pastor too. And that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, situations in churches change. And no matter what happens, just keep saying, God, if this is your plan, I'm going to love you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to give as willingly as I can. Not out of obligation, but I'm just going to keep on giving. So don't let your past hold you back like David could have and said, I'm disqualified. But just go where God wants you to go. That's kind of my challenge for you tonight. And I know that's kind of a generic invitation. But man, if there's something that's been holding you back, if there's a situation in your life that's been holding you up that you've just been unhappy with, maybe something you've been fighting God on for a long time, give in and just let God do it. You become a cheerleader for that situation, and you serve, and serve to the best of your abilities. That's my invitation for you tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this evening, and I thank you again for this opportunity to be here. I thank you for your word, for your truth, and I thank you even for looking at this example, Lord, just for these few minutes of David and how David, you know, he could have had a bad attitude when he didn't get what he wanted, but instead he gave in and he gave over to your will. He submitted to it and said, God, I'm going to serve. And Lord, I pray that if there is one person in here who's struggling with something that they're holding on to, maybe a previous situation, something, whatever it is, I pray that they would just give it over to you, dear Lord, and become that cheerleader, become that supporter, become that willing person that says, Lord, whatever your will is, I want to accomplish it. And Lord, if there's a soul here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they would come forward during this invitation and get that settled. We just pray and ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.